Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text that Daryl chose for this day comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the second chapter. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Linda, Melissa, family, friends, and you, the saints of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You know, cancer is one of those words that is the most dreaded words in the English vocabulary. Some of you have heard it. You've gone to your doctor with a lump or a bump, and you come out with the diagnosis that you have cancer. And the thing of it is that cancer, they've come up with a lot of medical advances that provide healing and restoration and length of life, but still, cancer in so many ways eludes a cure. Patients go through the treatments, and then when that's over, you go through all those checkups until the doctor says, not cured, but they only say he's in remission or she's in remission, and that's the best they do because it could come back. And in Judy's case, it came back with vengeance to ultimately take her life. See, I know what you're thinking right now. Pastor, you were in the sun in California way too long. Daryl didn't die of cancer. Did you pick the wrong sermon for this morning? Well, the answer to that question is yes, I was in the sun a lot in California. And no, I did not pick the wrong sermon. Why? Because Daryl died of a dissected aorta because I know I was there. That was one of the last pastoral acts I undertook before I left for California. I stood by his bedside and I prayed with him. In fact, he called me just a few minutes before he died to make sure I was on my way. And I said I was, and we visited, and finally life ebbed from him. My point is not what takes a person's life. My point is that there's always something far worse than a dreadful cancer diagnosis or, man, the unpredictability of a dissected aorta that could happen at any time. There's something far worse. Something more dreadful and something far more deadly. You probably know what I'm talking about now, don't you? It's called sin. Now, I'm fairly proficient on the computer and I did a lot of Google searching, but if you want to fact check me, that's fine. Although you have a 20% chance of living through a dissected aorta and a 38.5% chance of surviving cancer, and those results might be a little mishy. But the result being is that there's always a chance of survival. But when it comes to sin, Daryl didn't have a chance, and neither do you or me. Because the mortality rate of cancer is 100%, and Daryl Sayre knew that very, very well. Now, perhaps you've seen the movie Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks. He starred in the early 90s, and one of my favorite lines of the movie is when he looks at his childhood sweetheart and says, "I know what love is, Jenny." I could say the same for Daryl. He knew what sin was. In fact, he would sit in the pew, maybe where you're at today, and stand with the congregation and make his confession of sin that he was a sinner. That he had fallen short of God's glory in his thought, words, and deeds. And he knew that ultimately the day would come. He knew he was a sinner above all things, but he also knew he had a Savior. He knew that Christ had come into the world and taken on human flesh and suffered and died in his place that he may have the blessedness of being forgiven of all of his sin. However, the sin which you and I undertake each day, and by the way, we're very good at it, sin is a load that God never intended you and I to bear. In fact, when God created the Garden of Eden, it was perfect and said, in fact, in Genesis says he saw all that he created and it was very good, no sin in sight. But before too long, sin crept into God's perfect creation when Adam and Eve disobeyed. And through that original sin, we inherit it through the seed of the Father, and all of us are doomed, just like Daryl was. Not one of us will ultimately survive the raising sullen stream of death. But it's not a load that God intended for you to bear. You see, the fact of the matter is that Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, death has overcome and will overcome every single human being. Not a whole lot of joy there, is there? And as you read through Scripture, I find it interesting in Psalm 32 that King David knew that full well. Because David experienced the loss of a son as a result of his sin, a family that was divided, and a kingdom that was in utter chaos because of all that he had done. Many times David had sinned against God deliberately and knowingly and with great purpose. And when he didn't repent, he felt guilty. In fact, he records in the Psalms, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." See, David knew he was a sinner. He knew the consequences of sin, and it weighed heavy upon him. Physically, psychologically, David was devastated by the guilt of his sin. He was literally held in a dungeon of depression for all that he had done. Now, in our day and age, your doctor would simply say, "You need to go get some counseling and practice a little Prozac and everything will be just fine." But the reality, it does nothing to help when it comes to our sin. David had a real problem that no one in the world could fix. He felt sin bearing down on him day and night. In fact, when he described himself, he described sin in such a colorful way. He said the words, "When I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." To you and me, they're flowery words, but to David in the Hebrew, they were words that were filled with so much meaning, so vivid. The idea that David described his sin as, it means literally to miss the mark. God had called for David and mankind in general to be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. And David knew that he wasn't. You see, in the same way that Daryl knew that he wasn't perfect. And then David went on to say iniquity. His iniquity. Iniquity is a depravity or a perversity of a person displayed in what he thinks, what he says, and what he does. It's something that seeks all the way to the core. That old sinful nature that clings to us like an old worn out shirt. Then lastly, he says our transgressions. And transgression simply means to step over the line. David knew he had done that, and so did Daryl. In fact, with David, God had said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And you've read God's word. David adulterized with Bathsheba and ultimately sinned against God in the process. Even though God says, "Thou shalt not," David said, "I'll do what I please." David could do nothing to cover up his sinfulness. Nothing at all. David recognized that before God he was unworthy of the grace and mercy that God had promised to the people of Israel. David recognized that the Lord was faithful to his promises, and he knew that God heard his confession and that God had promised not only to hear but to forgive him. See, just like King David, Daryl was confident that the Lord had heard his confession as well. He knew that the Lord had freed him from the bondage of his sin and the guilt that went right along with it. You see, just like a doctor who lovingly cares for his patients that have cancer to try to find healing and restoration, in the same way your Heavenly Father provides for you from this sicknesses of sin that enfolds all of us. But our cure never come by a pill or by a different diet or by exercise. It only came by the death of Jesus. And by his suffering and death, our sins are forgiven. You know, with Daryl, I share with this family that he always kind of made me chuckle. Sometimes I use the word quirky. Sometimes the quirky things he said, or the way he said it, or the way he took over an elders meeting and wanted to talk about Obamacare instead of pastors' health care insurance for the coming year and the budget meetings, that was pure Daryl. And it was also pure Daryl to give me a note that had all of the service notes on what exactly he wanted me to do today. I got it right here. Daryl, I took a few liberties, and I hope you don't mind. But Daryl did write these words. He says, I would like to have this read. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on to write, I have been chosen by Christ, not I chose Christ. That I have been forgiven of my sins, they are now white as snow, like thanks to Jesus. I reap the joys of heaven. It is not the good works that I've done. It is by the grace of God, all in capital letters. I boast that God has blessed me. He has kept me in the one true faith. You know, having known Daryl for the last 14 plus years as an elder, I think during all of those years, I've gotten to know him very well. And to know Daryl is to know someone who was very proud to be Lutheran. In fact, I think if he would have wanted a service date, he would want it to be next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, right? With the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Daryl would say, I was buried on the Reformation anniversary. He was proud of who he was according to his confession of sins, that he knew he was a sinner, but he also knew of God's forgiveness. And I found it interesting he chose the Ephesians verse because it is a gift of God, and Daryl knew all of it was gift. From the very waters of the baptism that washed him, what was on March the 4th, 1945, when those waters were poured, he was ushered out of the jaws of sin and death into the life of the body of Christ, a new creation. But for Daryl, I never ever stopped there. It was on April the 10th of 1960 before Pastor Ernst, he answered a number of questions, and I have the 1942 agenda, so this would be legitimate, the questions that he was asked. And aside from being asked, did he believe in God the Father Almighty and all that, the creed, and of course, yes. But I found it interesting, as you get to the end of the confession, the pastor would ask, do you also as a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church intend to continue steadfast in the confession of this church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And Daryl would have said, I do so intend with the help of God. I think mission accomplished. Never fell away. Always trusted. And finally, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to walk as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to the triune God even unto death? And Daryl's response would be, I do so intend by the grace of God. This morning, as you and I gather in this place, we are a part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And for Daryl, I heard it too often. At the bedside of his wife Judy, and also at the bedside of Beverly for sure, he would hold their hand and said, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of you. And I'm thinking, they're dying of cancer. What are you jealous of? And he goes, because you're going to see the saints. Well, Monday I was there at his bedside when he was close to death and ultimately died. And I told him, I said, Daryl, I think you're going to go see the saints. And he just kind of gave me the Daryl grin. And then I said, and I think you're going to know a few of them. And he closed his eyes. He says, Pastor, I think I'll know a lot of them. And he closed his eyes and never spoke again. This morning, as I gather here with you, I want you to hear the promises that God had made to Daryl that he trusted in so greatly. God had promised Daryl that for those that believe and are baptized will be saved. It wasn't a work that Daryl did, and he would condemn me if I said anything different. He's been saved by grace through faith, apart from the works of law. It is a gift of God indeed. But also, when he was confirmed, God made him a promise, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And Daryl made that confession in so many ways. Not only by the life he lived and the service that he had as an elder within this congregation and the love he shared with each of us in his own special way. He demonstrated that he had a great confession and a faith in Christ as his Savior. There's a few things that Daryl said before he passed away. I think it's kind of important to know. One of the things he said is that, he says, I'm cold and I'm tired. And then he said he wanted to be at the wedding this summer. But he's at a different wedding feast, one that you and I, through faith, will ultimately join. You know, it's my prayer today as we lay our dear brother to rest, that that quirky smile and sometimes its off comments will always resonate with us and bring us a smile. Because today is not about defeat. Today is about victory. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.